Standing firm. That's what we've been talking about. And my title is Standing Firm Through Hospitality. What a weird combination there, you might say. And the more I studied this, the more I really realized. And what we're going to do is go through some Old Testament scriptures, New Testament, look at Jesus' perspective, look at the early church. And then as we read, you know, hospitality is all through the Bible. And it is something that's, I really think it's a key in our own spiritual lives to have that constant encouragement we have from other believers. You know, and in standing firm, you know, we talk about in Ephesians 6, talking about put on the full armor of God, stand firm. You know, kind of a, almost like war. And then in 1 Corinthians 16, it said, be on guard, stand firm, be courageous, be strong. And so I'm going to take a different twist on it, more than just being at war, but just in the midst of war, we need to be with each other. That's kind of, and growing up, go to the next slide here, you'll see a picture of my family. There's a picture of my dad holding me when I was a baby, and then I thought that was a cute picture of me, all of us getting our medicine. I have no idea what it was. And you might say, oh, he was so cute. My wife would say, yeah, he was cute back then. But the reason I put this up there is I remembered with my parents and how hospitality was such an important part of their lives. And I remembered it from one incident. I was about 8 years old, and it was a Sunday. We're coming home from church, and I think we went in two cars because by the time I got there to the house, the fire department was there and all that. And what had happened was, and Jim McCoy, it could have been your family over at our house to eat. You know, people were coming to our house to eat, and something went wrong with the oven. And so it was smoky. It didn't cause any damage, not a fire, but it was just a lot of smoke. But I remembered that was something we did a lot, was to be able to have people over in our homes, especially people from church, over in our homes. And my parents just, they set a good example of that for us. And so, but even beyond that, as a kid, it was not uncommon. I'd go to church, and back then we had church Sunday night and Wednesday night. But then, and Jim, he probably came over to our house. He and my brother were friends. But after church on Sunday morning, we'd go, Mom, can I go over to Perry's house? Or somebody from church. And that was so much of the relational development that we had back then, which I still am good friends with. Well, it was Jeff Woods and Perry Lewis. So we were the three amigos. But that was kind of the part of the hospitality that was going on. And small groups are a big deal. They're such a vital part of our church here. Well, I don't know, and Jim, you might remember, and is Dale Simpson here? He was a Southsider, and Larry Frankie, we had what we called cottage meetings, and those were basically small groups that met for Bible study, and how we did that, and we were in each other's lives, we were in each other's homes, just so much. And I would like to say, I believe that hospitality is a lost art. I don't think we do that like we used to. And as I go through some of the scriptures, I realize the culture's different today. Yeah, I understand the culture is different. But the needs of human beings are still the same, and we need each other. And as the elders, as we talked about this, this is one thing we would like to encourage us as a congregation to look at being more hospitable, having people more in our homes, and even beyond that, and I'll talk a little more today about it's more than just having people in our homes, but you can't beat having somebody in your home and just be able to sit and talk and just visit and get to know each other. The Latin root for hospitality is philoxenia. Okay, that Latin root, it got its name, which you could probably guess, hospital. And for a hospital, the function was the care and the treatment of the sick and the handicapped. And originally, it meant a haven for guests. Now, as I saw that, I thought, well, sometimes we see our homes being a haven from guests. And you know what I mean? I mean, there's a place, that our home should be a retreat for us. It really should. It's kind of, okay, you got all the craziness out there and all that, but just to be able to be home and be a retreat. But it's also a place, and I believe that our homes are one of the most underused instruments in God's kingdom. Because, again, you know, you buy this house, it's not yours, it's God's. And to be, it's an instrument for God's kingdom. And I would just like to encourage us to look at using our homes more, at having people over. And not just people in the body, the church body, but also neighbors. And what a better place to share with them about your love for Jesus and sharing the gospel than something like that. So let's look at the biblical foundations. Looking at the Old Testament, you know, looking at Genesis chapter 18 and Genesis chapter 19, we see Abraham and we see Lot, two different instances where with Abraham, it said that he was sitting next to his tent and he saw three people from the Lord coming in. And he and Sarah were very hospitable. And you know, the story there was pretty amazing where the angels told Sarah, and she was really old, and said that, "You're going to have a child." And she laughed in her tent. She heard them talking out there. And so, you know that story. But what they did was, you know, Abraham, he told his wife, "Get some food ready. We got some visitors." And then he had his servants go kill a calf. And they just ate together as they heard the news that at 100 years old, they're going to be parents. But that was part of God's promise. And then in the next chapter, with Lot, the same thing. You know, Lot was at the city gates, and the angels came in, and he brought them and welcomed. He almost demanded they come and stay with him because then the situation there was not good. So they were hospitable, and then even the widow at Zarephath. With Elijah was one of the prophets, and he was hungry, and they'd had a drought. And the ravens would feed him, but then God told him to go to the widow at Zarephath. And she was poor, and she barely had enough for herself. Her husband had died, and she barely had enough for herself and her son. And so then Elijah said, "Please give me some water and give me something to eat." And so that, again, she was hospitable to the prophet Elijah. And then one that was very interesting is, next one is with David's hospitality to Mephibosheth. Say that 10 times. And what he had done, he was talking, he said, talking to his servants, and he said, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul who I can show kindness to?" So he basically said, "Is there anybody I can show hospitality to from the house of Saul?" And then they said, "Yes, there is one, and this is Jonathan," it was for Jonathan's sake, because Jonathan was they were good friends. He had died, and so he was pretty much grieving Jonathan. He said, "Is there anyone in Saul's family that I can be hospitable to?" And Mephibosheth was there, and he was crippled. And so what David did, he brought him in, and he treated him as his own. And in verse 8, it was interesting where Mephibosheth, he said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" And he was hospitable to him. And he said, he told his servants, "I want you to treat him like the king's sons." And he gave him all the land he needed so that he could survive. But he was at every meal, he was there with David as he ate. So there was a pretty incredible with David's heart and how he was hospitable. And then you know the story of Boaz and Ruth and Naomi. Ruth would go out and glean in the fields, and Boaz heard of this. And he talked to her, Ruth, and said, "I'm going to take care of you and Naomi." So he was, it was just the way they were. And so we can see with so many of God's called people, they were looking out on how they could be kind and how they could be hospitable. And then you look at the New Testament, look at Jesus' teachings. He emphasized taking care of the need and the vulnerable. In Matthew 25, which was read by Wanda, basically he was saying, those of you, who were being hospitable to those that were naked, those that were in jail, when you're hospitable to them, you're being hospitable to me. And that reminded me of Hebrews 13:2, where the Hebrew writer said, keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for in doing so, you're showing hospitality to angels without even knowing it. So again, you've got that there, that with the, in Scripture, hospitality is just such a part of what they do. And then hospitality was, in doing this, you're doing it for me. When you're doing it for God's children, you're doing it for me. So that's just a real challenge there. And then the Good Samaritan, you know the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, again, that the Samaritan showed hospitality to a guy that was in need. He'd been beaten up and all that. And as I read this, and also throughout the whole life of Christ, we could see that hospitality was just a part of Jesus' nature. Now, interesting enough, Jesus didn't have a home that we knew of to invite people into his home. But his nature was that of being kind and welcoming to people. And we'll talk a little more about that in a little bit. Okay, and then next was Peter and Paul's instruction. And Peter and Paul, you know who Peter and Paul was. And I want to read Romans 12, 9 through 13. It says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. And honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. And then he says, practice hospitality. And then Peter, he says in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10, he says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober-minded so that you may pray. But above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So Peter had to put that in there. Yeah, offer hospitality. Quit grumbling. Offer hospitality to each other without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So we can see here that we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, we see it with Jesus, with Peter and Paul, that it was pretty consistent throughout that. But then you look at the early church, very fascinating looking at the early church, and they had their communal meals. In Acts 2 and Acts 4 talked a lot about that, and they were meeting in each other's homes, and no one had any needs. It was the Spirit of Christ, who they had already experienced, is why they took care of each other, and they were in each other's homes constantly. And you might say, yeah, but that was another culture. Yeah, it was another culture, but it's still the human predicament about needing people. And I think, you've heard about the first century church, the persecution going on, just all that stuff. And I really believe the relationships they had with each other is what allowed them to stand firm in their commitment to Jesus, because they had each other. They had their faith, and they had each other to encourage each other. They shared resources, demonstrating their commitment to hospitality. And even in 3 John 5 through 8, John commends them for their hospitality in opening their homes to the traveling missionaries, people that were going around preaching the gospel. They came in their homes and they took care of them. They supported them. And I really believe that this environment with having the hospitality allowed them to have a rich discipleship with one another. And I'm going to throw this out to you. I really believe if our only connection with each other is here on Sunday mornings, then we don't have a healthy church. I really believe we need to be in each other's lives more than just Sunday morning. And that's, I want to call you to do that, to understand that we need to do more than just being with each other on Sunday mornings. Now, some of us are not able to because of different circumstances in our lives, but I want to encourage you to really reach out to each other and having those types of relationships. And looking at the hospitality, spiritual and relational value, hospitality goes beyond just social kindness, okay? It's more than just being kind and inviting somebody over. It goes beyond just entertaining, you know, having somebody over, making sure everything's good and that everybody has a good time. It really goes beyond that, but hospitality creates opportunities for meaningful relationships and building each other up. Now, one person I think is very gifted in hospitality is Marion Earnhardt. And she had a little thing on the side of her refrigerator, a quote by Henry Nouwen, which is just really speaks to what I'm trying to encourage us to do. And here's what it says. And it says, hospitality is the ability to pay attention to the guest. Even more, it is not to change people, but to offer them some space where change can take place. Listening with warm and real attention to his or her stories, concerns, joys, and grief. It is the heart of welcome that allows people to be cared for. When I read that, I was like, whoa, I need that. So I took a picture of that. And that is what we're talking about. I think that's what the Bible implies when it talks about hospitality. It's more than just getting together and having a good time, although there's nothing wrong with doing that. But it's a deeper way to care for each other and just to be there and just wanting to get to know each other better. So, again, now that was the culture back then. So the contemporary relevance of this is, I think, is important for us to look at. And again, what I've said is it initiates community building. You know, and that's one thing that I think it was happening before COVID, but since COVID, that's one thing that churches all over the world that have had to deal with COVID, or how do we build that community? And I think hospitality is one way, it just initiates that. It also breaks down barriers and fosters belonging, and that kind of came out in Henry Nouwen's quote just about that. It helps us to feel welcomed and valued. And again, it is also a very impactful, it's an effective tool for outreach. You know, you've got neighbors, you know, invite them to your homes. Again, they would be shocked because it's not a part of our culture today. It's a lost art, and having your neighbors over and just sharing a meal together is a way that you can, first getting to know your neighbors, we should do that anyway, but it's a great tool for being able to do that. And the true nature of hospitality is, again, creating a space for others. And again, it's a response to God. God created a space for us at his table. But he was consistently criticized. It's kind of funny how, you know, the Pharisees, they would roll their eyes all the time when, okay, what's this, you know, what is Jesus doing? But then he would have the prostitutes, the tax collectors, the people that were marginalized by society and by the Pharisees and others, those were the ones he would have in. And then you got the parable of the great a great banquet in Luke 14. He said, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. The others wouldn't come. So at his great banquet, he said, okay, let's go out and bring those that society has discarded. And so one thing I would encourage you to do as you look at hospitality is invite those into your world that are not like you. It's a little easier to invite people that are, you know, it's kind of the in very similar to you, and that is good to do that. But also think about those that are not like you. You can learn a lot from them. And so then I think one thing is, and we look at the New Testament, and in the Old Testament also, but in the New Testament, leaders in the church practiced hospitality. You know, you look at Aquila and Priscilla in Acts 18, you know, Paul is going to them and he's commending them because the church was meeting in their home. And then over in Romans 16 also just commended them and Phoebe for that. In Philemon 1, 4 through 7, to Paul and the other Christians, you know, he was talking with them about hospitality. Now, but then, okay, let's look at some of the elder qualifications. Okay, there was an assumption there. And so then Paul would talk with Timothy and he sent him a letter. He says, okay, I want you to appoint leaders in each of your churches. And there's some different things he would want them to be. But one thing in both lists, in Titus and Timothy, was they must be men that are hospitable. And our elders, we realize that. And we wanted to confess that we have not done a good job about that. And I would like for all the elders and their wives to stand up. Please stand up. Yeah. Yeah. We are recommitting to being more hospitable. We want to do that, and we want you guys to do that. And so we want you guys to follow us as we take this lead on being hospitable. You can sit down now. I didn't prepare them for that. But we want to do this, and we want to we want this church to be a church that is hospitable, that we're in each other's lives. And now I want to get off track a little bit here. I realize that hospitality, most of it having people in our homes, that type of hospitality, is more of a burden for the wife if you're a married couple. And that's, I understand that. I know in my family, when we're going to have a meal, I will say those six words. What can I do to help? And my wife will give me those six words. Please stay out of the kitchen. So I do understand that this hospitality is something that is, in many, and not all families. In my family, she cooks. Sometimes I clean. But it's something that maybe there's a way you can make it a team effort. And guys, don't put all the burden on the wife with this when the traditional having people in your home. And I think you can be creative sometimes. Sometimes, especially when there's two income families. It's really, really hard. And maybe you just go down to King Edward, buy some fried chicken and bring it over for the, you know. But being creative with that, I think that would be something that would be good. So some key ideas as we wrap everything up on hospitality. Again, hospitality is our response to God. That's what that is, because he has accepted us at his table, and we are doing the same thing in accepting others at our table and using a table. Sometimes it's a literal table, sometimes it's not. Second thing is hospitality includes, but it's not limited by our homes, a place of living. You know, it's being creative. And I know back in the middle of December, there was a person, a lady that came here, and she had been upset. She'd had a rough week, and you could tell she was in tears. And one of our elders and his wife saw that and knew that and took her out to lunch. And I was talking with her later, and she said, that really meant a lot. That was really helpful to do that. And so just as we look at this, it doesn't have to be zeroed in just on the home, but just having a mind and a heart for hospitality is something that would be important to do. But let me do say, nothing beats being in the home and being able to just talk and visit. So, third thing, hospitality appreciates the special, but it's centered on the simple. You don't have to make a big gourmet meal to have somebody over. You can just make a bowl of chili. You can, or, and I was trying to think what that cliche is, putting more water in the soup. There's a cliche there somewhere, but I can't remember what it is. But just, you know, just have, putting in a little more, just or everybody eats a little less to have everybody there. But it doesn't have to be perfect, and your house doesn't have to be perfect. But it's the going through the effort just to have somebody over is what's really, really special. Another last key, fourth key idea is hospitality involves initiative. We must take initiative to do this. It might be you decide, I'm going to have somebody over once a month or once a quarter, whatever it is, but it's got to be something that takes initiative because I know we're busy, and if we wait till we have the time, we won't do it. But making it something that we decide we're going to do. And it could be, I know way back, and then Susan and I are doing this, starting to do this with two other people, have a team, of hospitality team, where you just get somebody else and you work together in inviting different people over to your homes. But just want to encourage you, it's not going to happen without you taking initiative in doing that and talk to your spouse, or if you're single, just talk about maybe doing it. And if you're single, you know, especially get somebody to do this together. It would be a good thing to do. Last thing, I think it's more important now than ever. And I think it's, we live in a world of digitalization and being together face-to-face is done less and less. But we need it more and more. So I would like to encourage us to do that. And, okay, I want to read the Henry Nouwen quote again as we finish up. Hospitality is the ability to pay attention to the guest. Even more, it is not to change people, but to offer them space where change can take place. Listening with warm and real attention to his or her stories, concerns, joys, and grief, it is the heart of welcome that allows people to be cared for. We all need to be cared for. And so I just want to challenge us at McKnight Crossings to let 2025 be a year of hospitality. And I pray that we will do that.